Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Hey, welcome back to the Blitz Podcast. You're catching us on our Christmas week episode. That only means one really important thing for all the degenerates out there, a double dose of DFS. But of course, we can't have any DFS without my partner in crime, Harley Schultz. Harley, how goes it?
It goes well. I mean, it is the holiday season, so instead of saying ho, 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 let's win our customers some dough, dough, dough.
There you go. Full-fledged in playoff mode now. Out of five expert huddle leagues, I made the playoffs in three. Two of them I had the one seed, and I had to sweat out a win in the one that I had a first round that I had to actually participate in, hoping Lamar Jackson did not score more than, I think, 27 and change, and I wound up winning by about 5 points. And that was with Tyreek Hill being out, so I felt very fortunate to move forward. Scott Fishbowl, not going to talk about that. You might be able to talk about that, but I'm not able to talk about that.
I will talk about that. Unfortunately, myself and the other two teams that advanced to the quarterfinals from the Green Giant division of the Minneapolis Live Drafts, there were three of us that advanced to the quarterfinals. All three of us were knocked out this week as they trimmed the number of teams down to 250. I was obviously taken out. People that were following us early in the season, I talked about my draft strategy. I went robust running back, to say the least, drafting a lot of heavy running backs. One of my running backs was Jonathan Taylor. He's been out, so I've also had Zach Moss on my team. Well, Zach Moss was one of the guys I played this week. He got knocked out early. And, of course, I got to watch his backups go on and absolutely assail the opposition. I lost Michael Pittman in that same game.
Yep.
I had Austin Eckler throw up a complete dud on Thursday night. And then, of course, on Sunday, I got a complete dud from Derrick Henry against the team that he usually mutilates. So, yeah, those four kind of systematically ruined my chances of going into the semifinals. But, again, all three of the teams from Green Giant got knocked out. But, of course, shout out to Tyler Denniston and Ben Dittlison, who were the other two teams that made it into this point with me out of the 12 teams from our division. And hopefully the next couple weeks here, we see some of the other teams keep going and we find out who the big winner is this year.
Yeah. So I got to be honest with you, I had some similarities in the Huddle Auction League that I had to play in this week because I didn't get a bye. I, too, had Jonathan Taylor. I also had, like I said, Tyreek Hill, who was on my IR. I had Brian Robinson on my IR. I had Juju, who was out, and I couldn't put him on my IR because we can only put three on our IR. And then I, too, had Michael Pittman in my starting lineup. So I feel really fortunate that I moved on. But I think you would like part of my strategy. I started Sam Laporta and David Njoku in my lineup. So I went double tight end.
Oh, you know I'm all about the double tight end, particularly on from a DFS standpoint. On small slates, I love that. But,
yeah,
this season, again, I'm not sure about the scoring rules for your league, but at least in Scott Fishbowl, you get point and a half on everything for tight ends, a point and a half or 1.5 times for first downs, 1.5 times per yardage, 1.5 times per catch.
Yeah.
So it's a much more valuable thing when you've got that tight end premium aspect and you happen to have two tight ends that are both very good.
Yeah, we're PPR, but we're not that tight end forward in it. But I feel fortunate to move forward. I'd like to think that maybe I can get lucky and get a couple of those guys back and really make some noise in the playoffs. Also, Justin Jefferson's on that team. You could tell how I started out in the auction, right? I went after two big guns with Tyreek and JJ. So if I can get those guys to where they're actually ready to rock and roll, I could make some noise in the playoffs. I don't know, but we'll see. You know, that's why I say that it's 50%. Actually, somebody at the huddle used to say this. Fantasy football is 50% luck and 50% luck. But both of us probably scored some of the lowest points we scored, myself and my opponent this week. But that's what happens sometimes. So in any event, this week, I mean, it's Christmas week. We should just, you know, bringing happiness and joy. And that does mean double DFS. But none of that happens. None of it. Absolutely none of that happens until and after we throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitz Podcast Ho 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 News.
Thank you, Steve. For the second time this season, Desmond Ridder has been benched by the Falcons. Well, the Falcons almost got it right. What we all really wanted for Christmas was that the Atlanta Falcons would bench Arthur Smith. After waiting until their first drive of the Monday Night Football game to declare that Drew Locke would start for the Seahawks in Week 15, the team stated early Tuesday morning that Geno Smith will be their starter next week, assuming he's healthy. Come on. What a jerky way to reward Locke for his miracle comeback victory over the Eagles. They didn't even have to start Locke again, you know, but at least give him 24 hours to ride the wave of that win. The Kansas City Chiefs placed Sky Moore on IR today with a knee injury. When asked about the injury, Patrick Mahomes said, "Who?" Christian McCaffrey tied a Super Bowl-era record with his seventh touchdown versus the Arizona Cardinals this season. Now, I'm not bright enough to be an NFL coach or an NFL coordinator, but I have to think that after touchdown number four, the Cardinals may have considered trying to tackle McCaffrey. And finally, just in time for Christmas, Santa Tomlin has turned the Steelers' sleigh over to Mason Rudolph. This has been your BPN News Update.
I didn't see that one coming at all, but man, that was a softball and I missed it. Pretty good way to wrap it up. So Christmas-wise, you and the better half ready for?
Yeah, we're leaving on Friday to go down to her parents' house in Dubuque, Iowa. We'll be spending the weekend there, coming back on either late Sunday or Monday, depending on what the weather forecast predicts for those 2 days. And then, like, obviously we'll be back up here on Monday for getting ready for next week's show.
Gotcha. So what most people are expecting is that we're recording this on Monday night, right, while the Eagles and Seahawks are playing. However, we're not. We had some, we'll call it technical difficulties with the DFS sites and not getting the prices. So we delayed recording until this evening, which was welcomed by me because that gave me the ability to watch the entire Eagles game. And in retrospect,
even the disappointing ending.
And in retrospect, that was not such a great thing. Man, it feels like, wow, the wheels have really come off on that, on the Eagles ride right now. I mean, where do they stand? Because I'm not rational about them.
Well, so, I mean, they're technically still the number two seed in the NFC.
Yeah.
For the playoffs. And they have a really easy schedule upcoming. So
true.
I like their chances there. But it's really something isn't right.
Yeah, but, right. Who are they?
Yeah, but right now, though, the nice thing is that we can kind of say that about every single team in the NFC. The other division leader, the Detroit Lions, cannot win anything on the road. We saw earlier this season that San Francisco couldn't win when they lost their tackle,
Trent Williams,
to an injury. We've seen, I mean, the other teams in the playoffs right now are potential playoff teams in the NFC. The Vikings are on their fourth quarterback in the last 5 weeks. You've got the Green Bay Packers, who are not yet in the playoffs, but they've underperformed in a few games. And whoever wins the NFC South is just going to be a sacrificial lamb to whoever is the third lowest seed in terms of victories.
Yeah, that's true. You didn't mention the Dallas Cowboys. Why not mention them? I like when people talk bad about the Cowboys. They're Jekyll and Hyde, too.
I think that all you have to do is watch the – or you don't have to watch. Just look at the final score of that game, and you'll realize why I didn't mention the Cowboys. Because right now, if they have to play a team that's any good, they're not going to win.
So I think that you could actually use the Eagles and the Cowboys and look at two games that they both played against common opponents, being Eagles versus the Bills and Eagles against the Seahawks, Dallas against the Bills, Dallas against the Seahawks. Dallas went 1-1 against those teams, right? Eagles went 1-1, but completely different. Like, the Bills obliterated the Cowboys. The Eagles stayed close with them and pulled out a tough win, right? The Cowboys obliterated the Seahawks. The Eagles had the Seahawks really right where they wanted them for most of that game, and then somehow, some way, crapped it away.
Well, I think one thing we have to discuss, too, about the Dallas being obliterated by the Bills, somehow that managed to happen despite the fact that Josh Allen only completed like 7 passes for 82 yards.
Yeah. I think that what it goes to is it just goes to show that you can't look at how somebody plays against a specific team. It's how they match up against each other. And there are certain teams that are always going to turn it up a little bit for another possible opponent. It also depends on where you are in the season, who you're chasing, how bad you need a win. Look, every win's important, right? But some are more important than others type thing. So I don't know. I just right now the Eagles seem like they're just adrift out to sea with no particular compass or way that they're going. I hope that they go back and look at that game and realize that their bread was buttered when they were running the ball that was setting up passes, and that they don't need to take chunk shots all the time. Just methodically go down and kill the clock with a 6-minute, 7-minute drive.
Well, the Eagles, like I said, they do have a fairly easy schedule coming up, including an easy get-right game this week against the Giants.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting you talk about a team like Dallas, who, again, we talk a lot about how they haven't beaten anyone really good. A lot can be said for their opponent this week is the same way, and that's the Miami Dolphins. So yeah. It'll be an interesting game to watch to see if these two teams score a ton or if they both score very little. And what sort of, again, I mean, one of these two teams has got to win. One of these two teams has got to lose. And obviously, that's just a tie. But that's the game that I think everyone's going to want to watch from a competitive nature this week.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it could also be an absolute dud.
It could. I can see it going either way. I think it's got a chance to be higher scoring than not. But, you know, the thing with the Cowboys, up until the Eagles game, they had not beat a team with a winning record. And now this is the conundrum, I guess maybe that's the wrong way to put it, but that I love, because Cowboy fans will call the Eagles frauds. And if they do that, then I get to say, you haven't beaten anybody because everybody's had a losing record and you beat the Eagles and they're frauds. So you don't have anything to stake your hat on. But yeah, I think the playoffs are going to be a little wild. Home field, okay, here I'm going to call it. Ready? Depending on how things break, the Eagles will host the NFC Championship game against the Dallas Cowboys. And they will be...
It'll be must-see TV.
Here's what's going to happen. The Eagles will win their first-round matchup, and whoever is playing Detroit is actually going to win, which then means that the Eagles would play... I'm sorry, Detroit will win. Eagles and Detroit would play. Dallas beats the team down south, right? Which means they're the lowest remaining seed. They have to go to San Francisco, second round. They're going to go into San Francisco and beat the Niners. And they're going to be jacked up, and they're going to be ready, and then they're going to wind up coming back to Philly the following week and getting spanked. That's my call. I'm sticking with it.
Sure.
So, but you know what? That call means nothing because it's not going to make anybody any money right now. So let's do this. Let's just get over to our DFS stuff and see what we can do about making some extra dough during a season when people are spending a lot of it.
It's all about the do-re-mi.
There you go. So we're going to talk Sunday, and then we're going to talk Christmas Day matchups, right?
Yes.
Let's start with Sunday first. Go on and push up to the quarterback spot on Sunday. Who are you paying up for?
Before I do that, I've got to give you the
over-under.
Vegas line.
That's right. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Santa. I didn't want to, you know, get coal in my stocking, so I was trying to be good and not bet. But go ahead. What's the over-under on Sunday?
For Sunday, the line is 5.
Okay. 5. 1, 2. It's a push. It's a push. I'm taking the under. Taking the under. Okay. Now, who are you paying up for at quarterback?
I'm going to pay up for Justin Fields versus Arizona. He's 7,100 on DraftKings, 8,300 on FanDuel. Only two teams have allowed more passing touchdowns this season compared to Arizona. And Arizona has allowed 4 quarterback rushing scores this year. Plus, only one team is allowing more opponents' points per play than Arizona.
You know, I should have taken the over. I was looking at the quarterback spot saying, if we hit the quarterbacks, then we're going to go over. But if we don't, I think that we're going to hit the under. and I didn't think we would match on our quarterback, but guess who I'm paying up for?
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields. I agree with you. He's at home. It's a cake matchup. You're saving $800-900 versus the other guys on DraftKings, couple hundred on FanDuel over Dak, actually a little more money for two than Tua is. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that Fields presents great upside this week.
Yeah, and again, you got potential wide receiver injury issues on both Dallas and Miami if Tyreek is still limited or if Brandon Cooks is still limited. So you got potential players out for both those teams. We already talked a little bit about it. We don't know if that's going to be a game that ends up 40-39 or it's going to be a game that ends up 20-17. There's a lot of variance in that game. Chicago, at least, again, good offense at home. If weather plays into the factor, it's still in the Fields' advantage because he'll just run the ball a lot.
Yep, exactly. All right, so who are you going to stay away from?
I decided to stay away from the number five guy on the board, and that's Jared Goff at Minnesota. 6,900 on DraftKings, 7,800 on FanDuel. Goff has 17 touchdowns at home this season and 9 touchdowns on the road. And that's over 7 games, so 7 games at both. Minnesota, they've allowed a total of 9 scores to the quarterback position over their last 9 games. That's one quarterback touchdown per game, and they either be running or passing. So, again, you're looking at Jared Goff, and his absolute ceiling is 2 touchdowns. More than likely, he ends up with 1.
So, the first name I wrote down is not Jared Goff. And I only wrote this name down because I wanted to call out the injury, but it's not who I'm picking because I feel like it's a punt because he's still in concussion protocol, and it was C.J. Stroud. I don't love the matchup, and if we knew he was straight up playing, he probably would have been my stay away. But we think he's probably going to be out due to the concussion, right? So I'm not going to punt there. So the guy I wrote down is one below him. It is Jared Goff. I agree with you 1,000%. We're going to so crush this over today.
Okay, at the value play, I'm going to stay in that very same game. I'm going to go with Nick Mullins from Minnesota versus Detroit. He's only 5,300 on DraftKings, 7,000 on FanDuel. Detroit has allowed the 8th most passing touchdowns, and Mullins scored twice in his first start last week and threw for over 300 yards, albeit some of it in garbage time. He has a ton of great weapons to throw the ball to: Justin Jefferson, the rookie Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, 50-year guy K.J. Osborne. Lots of weapons there to throw to. And, again, Detroit's just mid against the pass, so that's the one you want to go with.
Well, we finally have our first that we're not going to agree with, but I don't disagree with you. I love the play, honestly. I went a step above by $200 and $100. I went with a guy because, you know what? What have you done for me lately, right? Isn't that the kind of society we live in? I went with a guy whose one-game pace the last quarter he played would put him at 848 passing yards. Joe Flacco on the road at Houston. I that's the part I don't like. Yeah, it's crazy. He threw for 212 yards in the fourth quarter, and they weren't garbage yards. They were to bring – that was to strap the Browns on his back, shoulder, and head and drag them across the finish line, unlike what Jalen Hurts did last night.
Mm-hmm. And – again, Houston has been so-so for the most part against the pass this year.
Yep.
They've gotten better the last couple weeks since the return of Derek Stingley Jr., but they still have some holes there. That game, again, if C.J. Stroud ends up playing, it could be a bit of a scoring game that people might not be thinking about getting. You think Cleveland, Houston, I mean, obviously there's the undertone of the Deshaun Watson story circling around those two teams and how that will play into things. But again, it's not two teams that you normally associate with big time offenses, but we may actually see some points scored in that game.
And here's the thing though. So I picked Flacco, you picked Mullins. Look below those. Is there anybody down? There's nobody else down there that you would even want to consider. So we're going to the bottom of the barrel.
One guy that is not on the list I sent you actually, who is probably going to start this week that I actually don't mind, is Ryan Tannehill. I just read the news today that Levis, high ankle sprain, probably won't play, although obviously Trevor Lawrence played with a high ankle sprain last week and did pretty darn good. So we don't know if Levis is going to play or not. I'm guessing that's going to probably be Tannehill. I don't mind that. Obviously, I would also have considered Drew Lock in that game if he was starting. I'm not sure I'm going to spend up as much as for Geno Smith.
Right. So, yeah, because you look at Levis is most likely out. Lock, he's not playing. Ritter's benched. Keenum. I don't want Keenum in his second game against Cleveland. That Cleveland defense is no joke. Brissett's not starting.
It's a revenge game, though, too, though.
That is true. Well, when isn't it a revenge game for Case Keenum? I mean,
he's the new Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Exactly. Taylor Heinicke, yeah, maybe he's – I guess he's starting, but I don't like him even though he's at home against Indianapolis. Zach Wilson's in concussion protocol. Bryce Young, please, really? Trevor Siemian, no, not going to happen. I might start Aaron Rodgers before I start Trevor Siemian because then you're guaranteed not to get any negative points. So I think we scraped the bottom of the barrel, and I think they're two good plays, honestly.
I agree. How about running back? Where are you paying up at running back, Steve?
So at running back, let's see. What did I have? Let me get over to my running back tab here. And I believe I'm going with a guy that a lot of people will feel jaded towards this week. I went down the list. I'm paying up for Derrick Henry. He's at home. Seattle, you saw what DeAndre Swift was doing to them if they would have kept feeding him the ball. And I just think that with – even if Tannehill's in there, but, they're going to want to pound Henry. Yeah, Tajay Spears may get a few extra carries here and there too. But I didn't like really any of the other matchups above it. I'll talk more about them when we get to the stayaways, quite honestly.
Well, so I don't mind that play. I'm a little jaded because of the fact that Derrick Henry was one of the guys responsible for knocking me out of the Scott Fish Bowl.
Yeah.
But it is a good matchup. Although we could have said last week was also a great matchup for me. He just didn't take advantage of it.
Sure.
So, I didn't go that far down the list. I actually saw one guy, and it was literally right at the top of the list that kind of jumped out at me, and that's Rashad White. He's at home versus Jacksonville, 7,400 on DraftKings, 7,700 on FanDuel. Those two prices are really low for a main slate running back one. The highest priced guy on DraftKings is only 7,400. And normally we have to look at guys like Kyren Williams and Christian McCaffrey all up there close to the $10,000 mark. But Jacksonville, they've allowed the third most running back receiving yards and the most running back receptions this season. Now, this is White's wheelhouse as he has the fifth most running back receptions on the year. And he trails only Alvin Kamara in terms of running back receiving yards.
So I don't hate that.
I'm sorry, not Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey in running back receiving yards.
I don't hate that. I think what pushed me away from him was just seeing him number one. I was blinded by the fact. I'm like, no, he can't be number one. But you're right. Like, that price is about where the sixth or seventh guy would normally be listed, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be a value play at that price.
And here's the other thing. I think that if you look at all these other matchups till you get down to Henry, none of them stand out as really great matchups. So I think that White could be chalky, which is kind of why I probably did my contrarian push down to Henry, honestly.
Well, here's a question for you. After seeing what James Cook did against Dallas last week, do you think that people will be all over Raheem Mostert and or Devon Achane in that game, thinking they might be able to repeat that performance against a Dallas running defense that's always been very, very good?
So I was going to say you're going to have two chances to match me at stay away. The answer is, yeah, I think they will, and do I think they should? No, I do not. I've got Mostert and Achane as my stayaways. Look, prior to this past week, Dallas ranked 31st over the last month in points allowed to the running back spot. Yes, Mostert and Achane can both do damage. I don't want to bank on either one of them, quite honestly, because I think that what you could see is you could see them split that same type of production that Cook had, and at that point, you're not really getting much plus out of them, if you see what I mean.
I think the only plus you're looking at is with a guy like Mostert, the fact that he scores all his touchdowns. I mean, he's the closest thing to Christian McCaffrey on this slate in terms of a touchdown warrior. But, yeah, again, I hear what you're saying. I think that people will probably try to chase the James Cook points, and I don't know if they're going to be there again. We've talked ad nauseum already about how I don't know how that game is going to play out. My stay away is actually going to be David Montgomery at Minnesota. I'm going to stay in the Minnesota game and take away Detroit's offensive weapons one at a time.
Okay.
6,900 on DraftKings, 7,300 on FanDuel. Only three teams are allowing fewer rushing yards per attempt than Minnesota. They're allowing only 3.7 yards per attempt. Also, only three teams have allowed fewer total touchdowns to the opposing running back position. I don't trust Gibbs really either in this game. But his receiving work at least keeps him a little bit more involved. And again, last week obviously was a fairly even split with Montgomery getting a few more touches. What really annoyed me as a multiple league Montgomery owner is that when they got to the 10-yard line, which you normally would think would be Montgomery territory, they were playing Gibbs.
Right. The other thing I want to point out, Jonathan Taylor, third highest priced guy on the board, actually the number one price guy on FanDuel. I kind of punted him. And we're expected to see him back, but he's been out for a few weeks. I just don't like plugging those kind of guys into my lineup. It's one thing if it's
when Atlanta's elite against the run, too. I don't think they've given up a running back touchdown yet this year, if I remember right, at least not on the ground.
Right. So you add that in, it's on the road. I'm not a fan. And look, in redraft, you're like, oh, I finally got him back. I got to get him in my lineup. That's a different story, right, because you're in the playoffs and you probably aren't putting in somebody that's got much upside over him. And now if you had Moss is hurt. So, I punted on him. But I think people should understand I'd be wary of Jonathan Taylor this week.
Exactly.
Who's your value play?
We might actually have a chance to match on this one here.
I think so.
I went about halfway down the board, and among the starters at least, the guy that I think is going to have the best game is Chuba Hubbard versus Green Bay. He's 5,700 on DraftKings, 6,400 on FanDuel. Green Bay allows the third most passing yards per game to opposing backs, including – that's not right. What the hell is that? Third most rushing yards per game, including 152 yards per game over the last 3 weeks to the running back position. Chuba Hubbard has averaged 99 yards per game and scored three times over his last four games. So it's kind of like two good things converging at once here. Chuba is getting most of the carries for Carolina. Green Bay is just not good against the running back position.
So I don't dislike that. I especially like the fact that he's at home, right? When you said starter, I really thought that you were going to be funny, and I thought you were going to say Tyler Algiers, because that's who my value play is. About $1,000 less. He's getting as many, if not more, touches than Bijan Robinson is. Robinson hasn't looked good the past few weeks. Is he hitting a rookie wall or something like that, possibly, or is it just the Arthur Smith wall? I don't know. But at that price, with his involvement and facing a team that's given up the second most points to running backs over the past 4 weeks, I'll take a shot with Algiers as my value play.
I don't mind that price at all for him.
Okay. Let's talk about wide receiver.
Okay, this may be where we get back on track in terms of matches, I think.
We might. I don't know, though. We'll see. Who are you going to pay up for?
You're going to pay up for Minnesota Viking wide receiver Justin Jefferson. He's only 8,100 on DraftKings, 9,200 on FanDuel. Only three teams have allowed more wide receiver scores than Detroit. Jefferson has topped 120 receiving yards in four of six career games versus Detroit. That includes a 223-yard performance against them last year in their first game.
So, I kind of got tricky on this. I have two guys at my pay up and two guys at my stay away. So, do you want to give your stay away first?
Sure.
Go ahead.
My stay away is going to be Tyreek Hill versus Dallas. The price is just way too high at 9,600 on DraftKings, 10,000 on FanDuel. I'm concerned about him suffering a re-injury. Obviously, he was really close to playing. He was a game-time decision last week, so there's very little chance that he won't play this week. But here's my concern. He might not make it through the game. Plus, it's a tough matchup versus the Dallas team that has only allowed 10 wide receiver touchdowns all season. And only four of the last eight wide receiver ones to face Dallas have reached double-digit PPR points. So, again, it's not a great matchup, but it's one of those things where it's Tyreek Hill, so he still could go off for 10 catches, 170 yards, and two touchdowns. But I don't really want to pay that price for that possibility.
So Tyreek sat out last week for this game, right?
Yes.
He sat out for this game. He also knows that he has to average, like, I think it's just under 153 yards a game to hit 2,000. Mm-hmm. So my pay up, I have two of them, is an unconventional one that I think most people will say, no, I can't do it like you did, and another one that's got the numbers to back it up. So I'm actually going to say I'm going to pay up for either Tyreek Hill or Justin Jefferson. And then that leads me into my stay away. If I pay up for Hill, I'm staying away from JJ. And if I pay up for JJ, I'm staying away from Hill because I can't afford to keep both of them in my lineup anyway.
There's no way that's happening, yes.
So that's what I did. So that I know that probably doesn't make people feel good, but if you gun to head, Steve, who are you going to play? I'm actually playing Hill this week. Mm-hmm. I think he's 115 and 2 this week. I really do.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, he knows the stats. He's all about the stats. So
yep.
If anyone would demand it, it would be him.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if we saw him hit 175 plus, honestly. And I definitely think he gets 2 touchdowns this week.
That's it. The key thing to watch there, too, is, again, check the weather conditions in Miami. There's always a chance for wind conditions. There's always a chance for rain conditions this time of year.
That doesn't hurt him, though.
Rain would be the bigger concern for me with Hill coming off the injury.
True. But any of that stuff, look, it always hurts the defense that has to try and follow versus knowing where you're going.
I was going to say there's no defense that can follow Tyreek Hill.
That is true. That's all they can do is follow. And Bland has a penchant for jumping routes, which could lead to some very long touchdowns. Anyway.
Yes, he does.
So there we go. All right, so you're paying up for JJ. You're staying away from Hill. I said do either or. Who's your value play? I think we can match here.
I don't think we're going to. I'm way, way, way down the list at my value play this week.
I think I am too.
I'm going to go with Treylon Burks versus Seattle. He's 3,100 on DraftKings, 5,200 on FanDuel. Burks led the Titans in receiving yards last week. And each of the last 4 games, Seattle has allowed multiple double-digit PPR wide receivers. So even if DeAndre Hopkins gets double digits, I think Burks is going to hit double digits too. The big difference is if Burks hits double digits, that's 3x on DraftKings. That's not the case with Hopkins. Now, Tennessee, maybe without Will Levis this week, as we talked about already, but Ryan Tannehill is more than capable of getting Burks the ball and DeAndre Hopkins the ball. And obviously, last year they didn't have DeAndre Hopkins, so Tannehill has familiarity with Burks from last season.
So before I give my value play, I got to say, I'm giving us a half match on the pay up and stay away combined.
Works.
I'm not giving us a whole match. I'm giving us a half match. So if we can get to 5, we have the tiebreaker. How's that?
Yes.
I'm not too far from you. I'm a little higher. I looked at Burks. I don't think that's a bad call, quite honestly. I do like DeAndre if, you know, we get Tannehill. I don't think that's going to be bad either. But look, we're paying up for Justin Fields, and I don't think we are playing any of his wide receivers. So I'm going to go with Darnell. I should have caught that Hail Mary in the end zone, Mooney.
How did you drop that?
I don't know. I mean, it's not like you went, oh, wow, that was a DB that was in the end zone defending, and you can understand why they dropped. That was a starting. What? Not a wide receiver 5, not a wide receiver 7 from the practice squad. That was a wide receiver 2 for a professional NFL team that was on his keister and dropped the ball.
A guy who was a wide receiver 1 for that team for like the last 3 years, too.
True. That is true. Very true. But no, at his price, I mean, I was shocked when I only saw he was only $3,300 on DraftKings and $5,100, of course, on FanDuel. I think it's a great matchup.
It really is.
Weather concerns me a little bit, but look, he could go 5 for 70 and a touchdown, and you're going to be happy.
Well, in that very same game, too, we already talked about that game, could be a sneaky shootout. You can also look at the reserve receivers for Arizona, guys like Greg Dortch and Rondell Moore, who will probably see more, and Michael Wilson, too, if he plays, will probably see more usage with Marquise Brown likely out.
Yeah, Marquise Brown was in that lineup that I told you that I did advance with, too.
Sorry.
Yeah, so anyway, but I got through, so it's okay. All right, so we've got 2.5 going into the tight end spot, which means we have to sweep, and I don't think we're going to sweep. I don't think we're going to sweep because of the value play, honestly. There's a chance we'll match it, pay up, and stay away, but we're definitely not going to match it value play, I don't think. But who are you going to pay up for at the tight end spot?
Well, I've been heavily stacking this game throughout. I'm going to go ahead and pay up for TJ Hockenson versus Detroit. It's 5,800 on DraftKings, 6,800 on FanDuel. It's a revenge game for Hockenson against the Detroit Lions. He did not see any sort of drop-off in terms of targets or receptions last week with the return of Jefferson and with Nick Mullins at the helm, so I'm not concerned about any change of game script about him going on here. And again, he's a big part of this offense.
Yeah, I was shocked to see him listed as the second highest priced tight end, quite honestly. I'm paying up for him also. Minnesota's facing a Detroit team that's given up the 8th most points to tight ends over the past 4 weeks. And then I'm staying right in that game with my stay away. And it's the rookie, Sam Laporta, who's facing a Vikings team that's been just the opposite. They've given up the 31st fewest points actually the fewest points, 31st in points allowed. That would be bad the way I said it. Forget what I said. Let's start over. I'm staying away from Sam Laporta because Minnesota's not a good matchup. How's that?
I considered that. Obviously, his price tag is higher on both sites. That's mainly due to the 3 touchdowns last week. He isn't the guy I chose just because I think that it's just one of those things where Minnesota, like you said, their numbers look good against tight ends, but they always seem to fail. And again, this is just me being a Minnesota sports fan. I have seen Detroit's tight ends just dominate them over the last 10 years. So it doesn't make any sense, particularly not this year with the way they're playing, but I think Laporta is going to be a fine play this week. I actually like playing Laporta this week better than I like playing Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I think is going to have a tougher time of things. But yeah, I can understand what you're saying. The price is too high for him there coming off the 3 touchdowns. I think a lot of people will be chasing the 3 touchdowns there.
I agree.
My stay away is a little bit lower on the board, and my stay away is actually facing a team that's been kind of touchable by tight ends recently, and that is Dalton Schultz versus Cleveland. Cleveland's allowed 4 tight end scores over the last 4 weeks. They've also allowed the fewest total yards to the position on the season, though. So, yes, they are starting to weep a little bit against the position, but there's a good chance that Nico Collins returns this week, and we're probably still looking at Case Keenum as the quarterback, so I don't know if there's going to be enough yardage to go around between Collins and Brown and Schultz to make Schultz a viable play. I don't see him scoring probably more than 2 touchdowns in that game. He might score a touchdown. He might not. This feels like he's had more games recently where he's had 1 or 2 catches only. He had that streak of 3 games in a row earlier in the year where he scored, and then he took a game off where he scored one catch and 2 yards. Then he scored a 4th time in 5 games. But he really hasn't done a ton since then. Now, some of that was because of injury. But last week, he had a good game, 5 catches, 40-some-odd yards. But that doesn't really get you excited.
Yeah. Okay. Who is going to be your value play? Because I hated the value play. Hated it.
It's an ugly slate for that this week. There were actually 2 guys I considered, but I didn't love either of them. So first I'll tell you the guy I didn't choose.
Okay.
The guy I didn't choose is Tyler Conklin for the Jets, and that's mainly because we don't know if it's going to be Trevor Siemian or if it's going to be Zach Wilson at quarterback there this week. Conklin's been more involved in the passing game the last 3 weeks. Obviously, it's a good match going against Washington. And really, he's done well the last 3 weeks despite who's ever been at quarterback, but I don't know. It's an ugly game to think about having to watch. If you're a fan in Washington or the Jets, you're not going to enjoy that one even then. The guy I settled on is Cade Otton versus Jacksonville. He's 3,300 on DraftKings, 5,200 on FanDuel. Over their last 4 games, Jacksonville has allowed the 4th most yards and the 4th most scores to the tight end position. I just thought that he had the best potential output based on price.
So this is, you're going to think I'm crazy. There's a guy that I just always can't quit, and his price is just so appealing with where you would expect him to be producing from, and he's not. And that is, you want to say it for me? Who am I going to say?
Chig Okonkwo.
No, Kyle Pitts. You know, I have a hard time quitting Kyle Pitts. So in my head, I said, I want Kyle Pitts, and I want Kyle Pitts' production as a value play. So that means I'm going to take Jonnu Smith. But then I was like, but I really don't like the matchup, and I don't like Arthur Smith. And I was like, but I like that price. $2,100 isn't bad, right? I hated them all. So I did something that I haven't done in a long time. I went to a comfort spot. And it's a guy
that... You chose Trey McBride or Evan Engram, right?
No, I did not. Trust me, I did not. Actually, I went to a guy that I didn't think that you would call a value play because I know you got burned on him previously this year, but I played him at 2 very opportune times, and I think his quarterback's playing good ball, and they're at home. I actually went with Cade Otton also. We got a match there. I don't know how that happened. When you spit out Cade Otton, I was like, "What?" I never expected you to say that word again this year.
What's crazy about Otton is he only had 2 catches last week, but they were both for 22 yards, and when they were down in the red zone, he actually got vultured by another tight end. Koke Heft caught a 1-yard touchdown pass that should have probably gone to Otton.
Right.
So, again, it was really annoying from that standpoint. I did have him in a couple lineups last week. So obviously the reception numbers didn't help a ton, but he could be sitting on three or four catches and about 40 to 50 yards. And again, only 3,300, that's going to be your three times value right there.
And let's do this too. Let's make no mistake about it. Kyle Pitts should not be priced higher than Jonnu Smith the way he is. They should be reversed. And if they were, then I'd make Pitts my value play.
Kyle Pitts should not be priced the same price as Cole Kmet on DraftKings.
Yeah, he's $400 less. But yes, you're right. They're right there. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, well, the under hit. How about that? We won one.
Yep.
We beat Vegas. Okay, let's move over to Christmas Day. Set the over-under on Christmas Day. Short slate.
It's going to be six. We're not going to match on as many as we probably should on a short slate.
I'll take the over this time, but yeah, you're right. We might match on three for all I know because we try to be tricky. Let me get up. I got to get the right file up because I have – you sent two different files. So let me get the right file up. Go ahead and start. Tell me who you're going to pay up for at the quarterback spot.
Before we go into too much detail, I do want to point out to our listeners that this is Tuesday night. This will probably be up on the site tomorrow morning, Wednesday. And as of right now, FanDuel has still not posted their slate for Monday. Obviously, they'll have a Monday slate, but they haven't done that yet. FanBall has. DraftKings have. And so it took DraftKings a while to get theirs posted, but we did get the updated prices today. So okay. We're only going to give you prices based on DraftKings here.
There you go. Okay. Well, price-wise, who are you going to pay up for on DraftKings?
The highest-priced guy on the board, Jalen Hurts. He's 7,600. He has the best matchup on the slate. And with the recent struggles, this becomes a bit of a must-win game for the Eagles. So they're going to use their best athlete in the best way possible. He shouldn't be battling a cold this coming week. So hopefully he's feeling better. He didn't have a flu game on Monday, that's for sure.
No, he sure didn't. And yeah, he did take his own – he took a solo plane flight to Seattle so not to get other teammates sick. I told you, I can't see this situation clearly. Jalen Hurts is not my pay-up. Jalen Hurts is actually my stay-away. And I agree with you on everything you said. Best matchup, they need to get right, they're at home. I mean, they might pound DeAndre Swift and Boston Scott 45 times and only throw the ball 12 times. I don't know. I truly cannot see this straight. So I said I'm going to stay away from Hurts. And over the past month, the Giants, and again, you got to look at context and look who they played. They're only they've given up the 28th fewest points to the quarterback spot. The guy I'm paying up for is probably who you're going to have as your value play, honestly. I'm going to pay up for Brock Purdy at home against Baltimore. Over the past month, Baltimore has given up the 10th most points to the fantasy quarterback spot. So Purdy seems like this is a spot for him to really, really, really cement a stake on that MVP chatter that started. I'll go with Brock Purdy on Christmas, having some sort of Christmas miracle.
Well, not ironically, my very first lineup I put together on the Christmas Day slate for DraftKings was Brock Purdy at quarterback. I think that based on his price point, he is a very good price. And he's probably going to do okay against Baltimore. But he was not my value play.
Okay.
But before we get to value play, I'll tell you my stay away.
Okay.
And that is in that same game. Lamar Jackson at San Francisco. He's 7,400. He's only $200 cheaper than Jalen Hurts. They're traveling across the country to face a defense that has allowed the fourth fewest passing touchdowns and only one quarterback rushing touchdown. They're not giving up touchdowns either way. Now, yes, Jackson will probably run for a few yards in this game, but the odds of him scoring more than two touchdowns total, very, very slim. I like Jalen Hurts' chances to get two tush-push touchdowns.
Yeah. You know, the more I think about it now, too, the way you said price and all this stuff, honestly, I bet there's a lot of the betting public, gambling public, that's looking at Jalen Hurts the same way I am. They're jaded from the whole what have you done for me lately type thing, right? I bet where people might – you might look at that and go, Hurts, maybe the chalk play. I bet he has low ownership because people are afraid of it right now. He may be the absolute best play on the slate, actually, in retrospect.
Well, you said you're paying up for Purdy. So who's your value play?
My value play is a guy who was part of a team that put up a 60 spot. I'm going with Aiden. It's not going to be Tommy DeVito. I can tell you that. It's Aiden O'Connell, who I believe will have plenty of garbage time come Christmas to, you know, take advantage of the KC prevent defense for a quarter and a half.
I don't mind that play, but I am actually going to pay up for Tommy Cutlets as my value play. Only sold for $5,000. Over their last four games, Philadelphia has given up 11 total touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks, and we're not talking about, like, there's been a couple of good quarterbacks, but it's also been a couple of mediocre quarterbacks in that run.
Yes, there have. Yes, we know the struggles of the Philly defense and passing offenses, that's for sure. So I don't hate it, but I'm sorry. I'm an NFC East guy. I've got to think that we're gonna help Tommy DeVito go swim with the fishes.
Forget about it.
yeah, forget about it. All right, running back. Who is the pay up for you at running back?
Well, I thought about being logical here and, you know, taking someone other than Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Because that price is so high and they're facing Baltimore. But you don't want to be the guy that fades Christian McCaffrey on a slate full of sleds. I mean, this board is ugly. You could take the best running back who could score two or three touchdowns against a monumentally good defense, even a great defense like Baltimore here. You don't fade Christian McCaffrey regardless of the price on a short slate.
Well, then people should ignore me this holiday season because I'm fading Christian McCaffrey. I'm not paying up for him at $9,500 in a game that really could be a low-scoring game. Really could be. That if there's a game on the slate this weekend that could be 17-10, that's probably it, right? But it also could probably
he could score 16 of the 17 points.
That is true, and it also could wind up being a 42-38 type game too. But in any event, the guy I'm going to pay up for is the guy that I'm hedging my quarterback concern on and my offensive philosophy concern on with the Eagles is DeAndre Swift. Look, Jalen steals a lot of one-yard touchdowns. This past week, Swift has no one to blame but himself. He should have scored on that one where he cut back into Kelsey's back and went up going down at the 1.5-yard line.
Personally, I think Kelsey tackled him on purpose so like Hurts could go for the touchdown.
Yeah, maybe. If he did, he's a better tackler than their defense because he did it with his head turned the opposite way. But yeah, I've got DeAndre Swift. Look, over the past 4 weeks, the Giants are ninth in points allowed in the running back spot. I did want to consider Barkley just because I think they're going to have to lean on him. But Philly's run defense isn't as bad as what it looked last night at times versus the Seahawks either. So at home, I think it's just different. I like DeAndre Swift this week. I think he gets fed to overcompensate for the passing troubles that they're having right now.
Well, I will say this. If you do not play Christian McCaffrey this week, you really should play a combination of DeAndre Swift and Isaiah Pacheco as they have two higher priced guys with a chance to produce well based on their matchups. The guy I'm staying away from is Saquon Barkley at Philadelphia, 6,800 on DraftKings. Saquon's only scored in four games this season.
Yeah.
All four of those games came against a bottom eight run defense. The Eagles rank third best against the run, and they've given up a league second best five total scores. You're talking about a team that's given up five total scores to the position against a guy who scored in four games.
Yep. Not a good mixture, that's for sure. It's easy for me who I'm staying away from. And I would have considered Barkley, but he's also $2,700 cheaper than Christian McCaffrey. So I put CMC down as my stay away. And if it makes anybody feel any better over the past 4 weeks, Baltimore is 28th in points allowed to the running back spot.
This here is the cat. Sorry. My cat has decided to take part in the podcast today.
Oh, that's okay.
Hey, value play, I've actually had two thoughts.
Hold on a second. You did mention Isaiah Pacheco. I looked at Pacheco. The only reason I really didn't give him too much more consideration over Swift is he's coming off that surgery. Yeah, with shoulder cleanup, et cetera, so he should be good to go. But it's just a small concern that pushed me away from him.
I think we saw that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be involved in the passing game going forward there. Obviously, he's earned a little bit of Patrick Mahomes' trust by catching passes when no one else on the team seems to be able to catch a pass. So,
right.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's still got some value there. But I think Pacheco, I was shocked to find him already on the practice field today getting ready for this week. I thought for sure he would miss another week, but no, he says he's playing, and the guy is tough as nails. So if he says he's playing, I trust that.
Yep, I agree. So, okay, who's your value play?
I have two choices here for your value play match here.
Okay.
First one is the starter for this team, and the second one is the backup for this team.
Okay.
That's Gus Edwards and Justice Hill.
Okay.
Gus Edwards is 5,700 on DraftKings. Justice Hill is 4,700 on DraftKings. It's really not a good matchup. But with Keaton Mitchell headed to the IR with torn ACL, Hill jumps back in as Edwards' backup. Now, before Keaton's breakout back in, I believe it was like week 7, Hill had 4 games with 3 or more receptions. Edwards on the season has 2 or fewer catches in every game he has played. In fact, Edwards has 2 or fewer catches in every game he has played since the start of last season. This is important because San Francisco has allowed a league 4th worst 79 running back receptions this season, including 25 over the last 4 weeks. The only real trustful way to move the ball is through the air with your running backs against San Francisco, and that's Justice Hill's role with Keaton Mitchell gone.
So we don't match. We don't match. Who are the Eagles playing this week?
The Giants.
Who is one of the running backs on the Eagles team?
Boston Scott.
What is Boston Scott's nickname?
That I don't know.
It should be the Giant Killer.
Ah.
Boston Scott has scored 16 touchdowns in his career. I don't have the number in front of me, and I'll try to figure it out before we finish this episode. I'm willing to bet you that 10 of them are against the Giants.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
Boston Scott is just a different animal when they face the Giants. So if you don't want to play DeAndre Swift, and even if you do, I might double down on him. Boston Scott to me is a fantastic value play. Shit, he could be a chalky value play because people know that he's a Giant killer.
Okay, against the Giants for his career,
yep.
He has 9 touchdowns in the regular season.
That was close.
Then. And one touchdown in the playoffs.
Well, there you go. So 10. I said that, right? I said.
Oh, and actually, no, I lied. He does have 10 because he actually had a receiving touchdown in the regular season as well. So 11 total, including the playoffs.
Now, does his 16 include playoffs? That's one thing I don't know. I'm going to try and look that up here real quick.
Yeah. That 11 is in 8 games plus 1 playoff game. So 9 games, 11 touchdowns.
And how many games has he played in his career? Let's tell people that.
Total games for his career?
Yeah.
That'll have to look back to another page here.
I know my computer's loading slowly, unfortunately. I'm trying to use Pro Football Reference.
72.
72 games. And you said 11 games against the Giants?
9 games.
9 games. So in 63 games against all other teams, he has 6 touchdowns, 5 or 6 touchdowns. And in 9 games, he has 11 touchdowns against the Giants. Yeah, he's the Giant.
That's an incredible stat.
He is a Giant killer. And you know what? He's also a return man. He might return one for a touchdown. So I'm going Boston Scott as my value play. I've not felt more confident in a value play all year long.
I think you may have turned me on to him. I'm definitely putting him in a couple lineups.
There you go. All right. Doesn't do anything for our matching, but hey, you know, we're 0-6 so far. Hell of a start. Hell of a start. What about wide receiver? I think we'll get some matches here.
Also, I looked at the top priced wide receivers, and I didn't love any of them. I ended up settling on Rashee Rice versus Vegas at 6,600. In his last 10 games, Rice has 6 touchdowns. And since the Kansas City bye in week 10, Rice has more targets, more receptions, and more receiving yards than Travis Kelce.
That's a changing of the guard.
A little bit.
And I'm sitting here, I looked at this lineup and I went, why is he here? What's he doing up here? He doesn't belong up here. I didn't go down that far for a pay up, which you probably knew that I would not do. I'm not paying up for A.J. Brown, although he very well could get force fed because, you know, A.J.'s got a little bit of T.O. in him, right? And Jalen wants to make sure that A.J.'s happy. But no, the guy I'm actually paying up for is at home. He does it both with his legs and with his arms and legs. And I just, I'm already paying up for the quarterback, so let's pay up for the wide receiver. Give me Deebo Samuel. I mean, look, matchup-wise, it's a middle-of-the-road matchup. Over the past month, Baltimore is like 13th in points to the wide receiver position. 6 for 75 and a touchdown. That do it for you, plus maybe 20, 30 yards rushing. That'll do it, right?
Oh, I actually believe Deebo Samuel is going to score the first touchdown of that game on the ground.
There you go. There you go. So
I did look at Deebo, and I liked him a lot. I think that he is the safer play. He's actually outproduced Brandon Aiyuk over the last month or so.
Yep.
Obviously, the prices represent that. He's $1,000 more than Aiyuk. But, yeah, again, one thing, if you're putting together your lineups, and again, we only have the DraftKings pricing so far, it is virtually impossible to fit both A.J. Brown and C.J. McCaffrey into your lineup together. I'm sorry, not C.J. We have Christian McCaffrey into your lineup together. So you can try. It's not going to work.
Right. But you can make that happen in another direction. Who are you staying away from?
I think we're going to match on this one. I'm staying away from Davante Adams at Kansas City, 7,300 on DraftKings. Only 4 of the last 8 wide receiver ones to face Kansas City have reached double-digit PPR points. And on the season, only 4 wide receiver ones have topped 15 points against this KC defense.
So we do match there. It's our first match of the day for Christmas Day. It's also a point where I can say the under. Did I say I took the over or the under?
I think you took the over.
Oh, crap. What was I thinking? I really thought I said the under, but yeah, I took the over. It does. The arrow's going in the right direction. Well, we're shut out. We can't hit the over no matter what now. Best we can do is get 5. So, but yeah, I'm staying away from Davante Adams for all the reasons that you said. I just don't love it. Even though I said that O'Connell was going to be my value play, I don't know that it's going to get Davante Adams to 3x value.
I actually think we might match on this value play here.
I don't know. We'll see.
By the looks of things, this guy is priced right. If you look at the board, though, he's only the 10th highest priced guy on the board, but that's because it's a short slate. The guy I'm going with is Wandale Robinson at Philadelphia. He's 3,900 on DraftKings. Philadelphia's allowed the most receptions and the most receiving touchdowns to opposing wide receivers. And meanwhile, Wandale, he's got 8 games this season with 4 or more receptions. Now, that probably doesn't sound overly exciting to people. But when you consider that the rest of the Giants wide receiver room have combined to post 8 games with 4 or more receptions, you'll see that Wandale Robinson is, in fact, the primary receiver for the Giants.
So I don't hate that at all. I actually wrote down first NYG wide receiver, right?
Yes.
Because, yes, you do want a part of the passing attack against the Eagles. I actually wound up settling for a guy that's much lower priced, although much more risk, I think, and Isaiah Hodgins.
I actually recommend starting both of them this week.
Yeah, I mean, you can fit 2 of them in for less than the price of Davante Adams.
And you really want to. If you're going to play Christian McCaffrey, you've got to pay for at least one of the Giants receivers, such as wide receiver 3,
yep.
And possibly 2.
Yep.
I mean, in that same price range, I mean, you can consider Rashad Bateman after getting a few more targets this past week, but
yeah, I was shocked.
Don't love it.
I don't love
Trey Tucker.
I mean, if you want to roll the dice with Jalen Hyatt instead of Hodgins or something like that, you could.
Hodgins is the red zone guy, though, for DeVito, and I think that he's caught like 3 touchdowns now in the last 5 or 6 weeks, so I kind of like him.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's got the best odds of catching a touchdown and still winding up with 6 for 70-ish. So
yes.
All right. Let's go on over to the tight end spot. And let's see. I'm just going to give you my pay up out of the way first and tell you I did a trifecta. I guess I should have paid up for Christian McCaffrey, and then I could have just had the trifecta be San Francisco, but the Voltron stack. I'm paying up for George Kittle this week.
Okay.
Past month, you're looking at a Baltimore team that's given up the 7th most points to the tight end spot. And if you don't want to pay up for your Deebo Samuels of the world, then you could still get your San Francisco work on by going Kittle instead.
I like that play. I actually like all of the tight ends this week. So I had a really hard time with this. I ended up settling one place below that. I went with Dallas Goedert at home versus the Giants in his second game back from injury. Goedert returns to the number two option in terms of targets for the Eagles. Four of the last five tight ends to face New York have reached double-digit PPR points. So I think they're trending in a negative way in terms of covering the position. I think that this is a week where A.J. Brown and Goedert will both get fed, and they're both going to have a touchdown.
I don't hate that at all. I really don't. My stay away, I was going to consider Goddard because, again, I'm just so leery of Jalen Hurts, but I didn't do it. My stay away is Kelce. I paid up for Kittle, so I'm going to stay away from Kelce at 7,500, right? It's going to give me a little more flexibility to make some different lineups, especially to get Christian McCaffrey in it, if you want to do that, even though I said stay away from him.
We've got a match here, Travis Kelce versus Las Vegas, 7,500. It's actually a pretty good matchup for Kelce. He's had some big games historically against the Raiders. But the price is just way too high considering that everyone else that's starting this week has a good matchup.
Yeah. Yep. I'll give you my value play, who's probably really not that much of a value based on where the prices are. But compared to the top price guys, I guess he's a little bit of a value. And I still want to get some of this team's receiving yards into my lineup. So Darren Waller, week back from injury. He's really nothing more than a glorified wide receiver for that team in a sense, right? He doesn't really play inline tight end like you would expect from the old tight end days. So I'm going to say that Waller, even though he's $4,500, is my value play this week.
He's right in the middle of the pack in terms of prices, so I can see where that would qualify as a value play.
Okay.
I actually like him. And if you're putting together a double or triple tight end lineup, I think he should be in your lineup. The guy I went with one below him is Isaiah Likely. Over the last 2 weeks, San Francisco has logged 20 catches, 238 yards, and two touchdowns to the tight end position. And over his last two games, which happened to be coming out of the bye while the team figured out how to get Isaiah Likely the ball more often, Likely has 10 catches for 153 yards and two touchdowns. So
and he made
a team that's playing badly against the tight end versus a tight end that's playing well.
Yeah, he made one heck of a catch this weekend, too. Looked like it should have been a surefire interception. I don't know how he came down with the ball. I actually looked at him. He was very close to being my value play over Waller because of that extra $300. But I'm blinded by Philly's non-existent pass defense right now.
Well, and again, that's a weird situation there. I think the only reason I put Likely over Waller is because I couldn't stomach having three Giants players in my life.
Sure. No, you know what? I feel dirty for even saying it, but I get it.
No, I agree, though. I think Waller's going to have a great game.
And now, here's the thing. Can Waller have a good game and Tommy DeVito not? Yes. Right?
Yes.
Could Hodgins have a good game and Tommy DeVito not? Yes. I mean, let's think about it. You could get 4 for 75 and a touchdown from Hodgins, and that's a good game for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have somebody like Waller goes 6 for 50 or 6 for 55 and a touchdown. Okay, so DeVito throws two touchdowns. That's 125-ish, 130 yards, and he finishes the day with 150 and two. That's not a good day.
What makes DeVito's value a little bit higher, though, is his ceiling is kind of capped at 202 for passing. He has the capability of running for 50 or 60 yards, too.
Yeah, he does. But that's where I also think maybe that Philly run defense can do a little bit to corral that. Like I said, they're going to make him swim with the fishes, so we'll see. And that could be a bad omen. They knock him out, and then Tyrod Taylor comes in and dissects him for all we know. But, yeah, I did not think we'd only match on two in the Sunday slate.
But that's the Monday slate.
The Monday. What did I say? Sunday slate? Yeah.
No, yep.
Monday slate. The late slate. The Christmas Day slate.
And for those people that really are like up to being degenerates this weekend, there's also a two-game slate on Saturday.
Yeah, there is. I find it funny that they've relegated Pittsburgh to playing on Saturdays the past 2 weeks.
Cincinnati, too.
That's true. That is true. Fitting, though, for both those teams, they're kind of really out of playoff contention. I know Cincinnati's technically still alive, but I don't think so. But we'll see. Anyway, listen, we went long, believe it or not. Two double dose of DFS, and we went long. I want to wish you and yours a Merry, Merry Christmas and all that good stuff. Travel safe. Anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out to Harley on the site formerly known as Twitter, at Nuclear Harley. You can catch me at Steve Gallo NFL. And of course, if you don't have it yet, give yourself one last Christmas gift and subscribe to The Huddle. You will not regret it. And I know that when people raise their glasses, it's another week away. But hey, until then, get blitzed responsibly. Cheers.